our last talk will be that of Dr. Claudia Aguido-Loy. And she is currently a postdoctoral fellow at the University of Southern Florida's College of Behavioral and Community Science. And she received her PhD from the College of Public Health in Community and Family Health at USF and has a master's in epidemiology. She is also vice president of a nonprofit organization for Latino cancer survivors called Luna, Inc. So today she's going to be discussing some of the perceived risk factors of depression and among Latino breast cancer survivors. So.
Thank you for the introduction. As I mentioned, I'm a recent graduate from the College of Public Health, and I'm pleased to present a portion of my dissertation findings here with you. And thank you for staying. I know there's a crazy parade out there, and it's late, and so I appreciate that. I have no relationships to disclose. And so today, I am going to share some of the perceived risk factors and protective factors related or associated with depression that were identified through my sample of Latina breast cancer survivors, and also discuss the methods that I used to collect that data and start talking a little bit about some future implications. So as a quick background and leading to my research question, as most people know and probably in this crowd, the largest Latinos are the largest minority group, and by 2050 are expected, that 29% of Latinos are expected by 2050 in the U.S. population. So Latinos are commonly aggregated as one group. But as we know, they're very diverse. There might be differences in language variations by region, and we also experience even the distribution of Latinos from state to state varies. If you look at California, the largest Latino population might see more Mexican, and then if in Florida, where this study took place, you see a larger population of Puerto Ricans and Cubans, and then you see Mexicans. And so this diversity, so looking at data or looking at these particular research questions, future research questions by region of origin improves our understanding of cancer health disparity within underserved populations. And so this diversity is also shared as we discuss the epidemiology of cancer among Latinos. We see that there are higher cancer-related mortality rates found in Cubans, followed by Mexican. And a recently published article by Siegel et al. Reported that now cancer surpasses heart disease and is the leading cause of death among Latinos. And among Latinas themselves, breast cancer continues to be the leading cause of, the common cancer diagnosed among Latinas and the leading cause of cancer-related death. In Florida alone, mortality rate is the third highest in Florida, and even though the incidence tends to be lower compared to non-Hispanic whites, we tend to see more Latinos being diagnosed with more aggressive cancer and at later stage, and also Latinos are diagnosed at younger age. So in fact, the U.S. five-year survival rate, we see that there are differences with Latinas having a lower cancer survival rate compared to non-Hispanic whites. So women with breast cancer experience often physical and visible side effects. You see women who have hair loss. You might see women with scars, but they also suffer emotional and physical or psychological effects. For many people, a cancer diagnosis is viewed as a death sentence. Between 33 and 45% of expected new cases among Latinas will experience depression at one point during their survivorship. And these rates tend to be higher than the general population, which has been reported at 10.8%. And there's a variety of reasons that's been reported for this these rates. Specifically, uncertainty related to cancer, treatment side effects, and something we see with Latinas is their concern for their families. Latinas with breast cancer and co-occurring depression are also associated with poor treatment adherence, increased physical symptoms and impaired functioning, and increased mortality and morbidity rates up to 27%. So despite these prevalent rates and negative consequences of depression, less than 10% of the population are actually referred to existing services. And a contributing factor is actually diagnosing depression because of the overlapping symptoms. Something that we see with depression, or when you want to assess depression, you'll look at are there changes in appetite, are there changes in sleep patterns. Well, in cancer populations, some of the side effects is you will see changes in sleep patterns and you will see changes in appetite. So in summary, the literature does describe the negative health consequences of depression and the need to address psychosocial issues with Latina cancer survivors. And to date, no study has particularly looked at potential risk factors of depression among Latinas, especially as we looked at region of origin. So the purpose of the study was to identify potential risk factors for depression among Latina breast cancer survivors, which in turn can lead to future epidemiological studies to examine prognostic factors, and then can be used to increase the inform mental health screening guidelines and also contribute to existing literature. And so this particular study was a mixed method study. There was a quantitative phase where there was a survey, and then we followed it up with a semi-structured interview. This particular presentation will concentrate on the qualitative phase of this study. So recruitment occurred between 2011 and 2012, and recruitment occurred specifically through outreach workers, social workers, health provider staff, and other community workers in West Central Florida. And we did a variety of flyers as well, and this particular picture that you see myself and next to me is Dr. Martinez Tyson. We went on a public show, it's called Mi Gente Tampa Bay, and we use that also as a recruitment vehicle to get our sample. So in total, 114 women were recruited, and after we determined eligibility and lost to follow-up, a total of 68 women participated in the study. So who were these women that were included? The women were women who were diagnosed with breast cancer within 5 years. They were 18 years and older and of Latino descent. And how I describe region of origin are women from South and Central America as one region, and the other region was Spanish-speaking Caribbean countries, so including Cuban people from Cuba, Puerto Rico, and Dominican Republic. And we excluded women who were diagnosed less than 3 months just because of adjustment disorder that you might find when they first are diagnosed, and also excluded women who had advanced cancer and cancer reoccurrence just because you might find a different set of risk factors in this particular population that might confound our data. And the sample that we included, as I mentioned before, were all from West Central Florida. So we used semi-structured interviews. Women that were eligible to participate were verbally consented over the phone. And after they were invited also to participate, if they were eligible, they were invited to participate in the study. And we would mail them the questionnaire, included also a mental health resource guide and the verbal consent prior to the actual interview. The semi-structured interview took between 20 and 30 minutes of length, and all conversations were tape recorded, and I took extensive field notes it was either myself and an RA who did the phone interviews. So all interviews were transcribed and were also audio recorded. Transcriptions were compared to field notes to prevent misinterpretation of data and to provide additional input. And we also completed a thematic analysis where we created an a priori code book based on literature and theory, but we also allow for emerging codes. And we also did a content analysis where we looked at the proportions of themes discussed by presence of depression and also by region of origin. And something I did not mention is the way we define depression, or how it was based on the PHQ, the Patient Health Questionnaire 9, and that's how we assess depression. And this was done on the first phase of the study, which was the quantitative part. We use Atlas TI also to do all the analysis. So the results, there were a total of 22 themes that were identified when we did the thematic analysis. And when we looked at the content analysis, we saw that there was general agreement among all the major themes. There were statistical difference in the proportions that were discussed on three main themes. When we looked at by presence of depression, we identified that helping oneself was discussed in more by women who didn't have the depression symptoms, and helping oneself was described as taking actions to fight cancer or depression, and doing your part to overcome depression. And so those people who didn't help themselves were described less likely to they were less likely to seek resources and support. And also, and with regard to discrimination, women discussed being discriminated at the workplace and their communities because women would judge them based on their appearance. These women described that they were told that other people thought that cancer was contagious. They felt discriminated because they would see them as being a patient of AIDS. Or they just assumed that they were on the road to their death, so why bother even inviting them or asking them to work in certain places as well. And then with regard by region of origin, the differences we saw was on the theme of low self-esteem. And specifically with low self-esteem, more women from Spanish-speaking Caribbean country discussed this theme more. And this had to do with women spoke about losing their breasts, deformity of their breasts or appearance, or undergoing chemotherapy. And sometimes their own insecurity affected their relationship with their spouses. And when we looked at the demographic, we saw that particularly women from Spanish-speaking Caribbean had more mastectomies. So probably perhaps that's why we see that difference. So I'm just now going to go over the 22, or go over the main themes using an ecological framework to organize this discussion. So by intrapersonal level, we identified negative thinking, lack of faith, and side effects. And side effects range from losing breast, chemotherapy side effects, and side effects were also described as the many limitations that happen after cancer diagnosis. And so they couldn't do, these women described that they couldn't do many of the things they once enjoyed. So that was also as why they felt sad or depressed. And so here's a quote about a woman's experience with chemotherapy and how she preferred risk death than dealing with chemotherapy side effects. In the interpersonal level, lack of social support was one of the themes discussed by most women, actually. And even in the presence of family and friends, women felt alone. And felt unsupported. So this kind of speaks to that it wasn't so much on the quantity of support, but has to do with the quality of the support that they were receiving. Women also felt lack of social support because of distance from their family members. Some of their family members were living in their home country. And also coming to the country, many of the women felt isolated from their neighbors and from other people who speak the same language and can share that same culture. And a good majority of women also spoke about worrying for their family, should they become ill or death. And this worry sometimes also translated to not disclosing their diagnosis with their family members. I did speak to a woman who was 2 years within her cancer survivorship and has yet to tell her family that she has a breast cancer diagnosis. So she's going through this all completely alone. And this particular quote also is an example of a similar situation, but she was able to eventually disclose this. And so I quote, I had a sister who had cancer, and she died in my arms from the same thing I have. That's why I did not want my mother to know, because she was a bit rebellious. She started to question God. I told my mother 6 months afterwards by mistake, and I felt a weight was lifted off from me. And the community level, risk factors by community level, women discuss their lack of support from their medical institution, specifically the disclosure or delivering sensitive information specifically on cancer diagnosis over the phone. I was actually surprised by this because I thought it was fairly practiced that you would inform these patients by coming into the office. And so one woman did share her specific story where she was driving and she received a phone call and she received her cancer diagnosis there. She didn't have any medical support and she didn't have any of her family members to help. So it also placed her in a very dangerous situation as well. And other issues that were discussed regarding lack of medical institution support is doctors who don't speak Spanish, and some women also felt that their doctors left them feeling uninformed about their cancer. Lack of access to care was another salient issue, and is something that we see in many of research studies that we see throughout this actual conference here. And although most women eventually did obtain health care, many of the women did not have health insurance at the time that they were diagnosed with their cancer. And so they describe a lot of their experience trying to access health and the long wait times and all the long paperwork that they had to get through in order to get care. And so many of the times, one woman described going through all the system took them 6 months before she actually got approved in order to get her surgery. So that's a delay in treatment there. So this quote was particularly of a woman who was diagnosed at a local clinic, and then she was refused follow-up care because of lack of health insurance, and eventually she got care at a local hospital, and that was when she received educational support from other places that had denied her access to care. So other things across all levels include unemployment, language barriers, and lack of limited knowledge and awareness. Specific to unemployment, women felt not being employed caused financial strains, and in some cases they felt less useful, as shown in the following quote. And regarding to protective factors, we saw women described a theme of acceptance, so ability to accept a cancer diagnosis either through spiritual beliefs or just themselves just say, I have cancer diagnosis, I have to just overcome this. And also, as I mentioned, a theme prior was helping oneself and optimistic, positive thinking. The three themes that I just mentioned on the top were all themes leading to actions to overcome cancer and seeking resources. And also, women also use distraction as a way to prevent depression, whether it's talking with family members, taking walks, exercise, and another thing is just keeping their mind off cancer. So even though I didn't share the quantitative part of this study, one thing I did learn from the study is that doing the qualitative research part, the mixed method, did help to identify additional risk factors that I wasn't able to identify in the quantitative phase. When you assess depression with some of these scales, you only look at a very short window of time. And so with this particular method, I was able to expand and identify additional things that risk factors can occur through their life within the 5 years of being diagnosed or since they've been diagnosed. There are several strengths to the study. Specifically, theories were very useful to provide in a blueprint to explain some of the things or findings that we were looking at. And we did look at, saw, able to identify some differences between Latino groups and not just Latino as an aggregate data. There were some limitations noted, as most studies identify, the small sample size, the cross-sectional, some of the things just intrinsic as part of the study design. Significance to public health, we're able to continue an emphasis to promote research in underserved population, and just the fact that I was able to look at region differences by region of origin did help to look at differences that we wouldn't be able to see as a group to get overall. So findings highlight the need for easily accessible and culturally linguistic appropriate psychological services to help women adjust to cancer diagnosis and other challenges faced by women during the cancer continuum. Most of these women I spoke do not deny that cancer and its treatment is difficult to go through, but what results do show is that women who are more optimistic and want to help themselves are more likely to overcome these challenges. So with this said, perhaps additional services such as individual counseling that takes account these changes that our women are going through would help to facilitate this transition. This is being done at some comprehensive services, but less so in community clinics. And also interventions need to focus on supporting the family member and those significant loved ones. Women described that some of their family members were also going through all depression, didn't know how to better support them. So having both of them would help women through this transition period. And also some public health efforts are also needed to reduce stigma related to cancer, specifically that cancer is not contagious, or reduce negative perception of cancer equated to death sentence. So thank you, and these are some of the pictures from a cancer support group in Camp Alegria, which is a three-day for Latina cancer survivors. And just want to thank everyone who helped me with this particular study and my committee. Thank you.